Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, November 20th, 2008. It's now about 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. I recognize that it's very early in the morning and it's only a half-hour broadcast. This is what we do every week, 52 weeks out of the year. But we do invite you to call. Rub your eyes. Get a little cup of coffee. Think of a good question. We'll make this even open mic morning, okay? But do call in to 646-652-4620. Of course, you can email us anytime at comments@libertytalkradio.com. If you are listening to a rebroadcast, you may also phone in your questions or comments to area code 918-919-0101. I encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. Mytwocentsonline.com. That two is a numeric two. Andy was our guest last week. He is so good. We have got to have him back in another 3 or 4 weeks. He just clarifies things. He is a powerhouse of information. He's an economist. He has his own investment firm. He really is super, and he's a heck of a nice guy. He discusses economic issues and all this other stuff from a macroeconomic point of view, and it really helps you understand what's going on. You can hear his commentary right now on the ContraryInvestorsCafe.com. ContraryInvestorsCafe.com. And he also has a newsletter, a weekly newsletter that you subscribe to, Best in the Business. I can't wait to get it. I sit down, I read, and relish every single word. Folks, I'd also like to remind you, that listeners, to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Wow, what a week it has been, has it not? This is a week of anti-libertarianism. Everyone is looking to the government for something. And it's so interesting, with all of this money being allocated, no one knows exactly where it's going to go, if it's going to go anywhere, who is getting it, and we are talking about, folks, hold on to your hats, trillions of dollars. Trillions of dollars. As Andy pointed out last week, last Sunday night, the Fed has fed into the banking system $500 billion for each of 6 weeks concurrently. That is $3 trillion. It took us 210 years to get $1 trillion in debt. 210 years. We tripled that in 3 weeks. In 6 weeks, rather, folks. I mean, just think of the enormity of that. The problem is that this is, it appears transparent to us because we don't see it. You know, it's insidious. It's like having a disease, not knowing it, eating away at you, and you're just going along, and you don't know it until it is too late. Folks, it is too late. I know, you know, Joe, you're a doom and gloomer. It is too late. We've already done the damage. And what is interesting, and I want to get into bailouts especially, what the bailouts mean to us as citizens regarding what the auto industry is now going through with the Senate Investigation Committee regarding their request for $50 billion to bail them out. We really have to sit back and really think about what is going on. No one can ignore, violate, or the law of economics. And we are doing that on a minute-by-minute basis. And it's like no one could fool Mother Nature. You heard that expression before. And yet we think we can do the same thing. We think we could ignore and the law of economics, and that's it. And all of a sudden, everything is fine. It can happen, folks. It's going to come back to bite us. I want to tell you a little personal story. Most of you will think that I'm the meanest, most rotten father in the world, the most hated person in the world. I may be, who knows? But the most hated person in the world. And this speaks to the heart of what is going on today. Many, many years ago, my son was young, much younger. He's, I think, 42 years old now. He went to California because he was a rock musician, and he went to this school that was a sleazebag school. It wasn't a real recognized music school. It was one of these con schools where they got all these kids to come in and pay big money, and then they would invite like a big name guitar player to come in once a month or something like that to play with them for 5 minutes, and they thought they were getting, you know, first-hand information from the stars and stuff like that. It was a con. The whole thing was, I called it SBI, Sleazebag Institute, and we still laugh about it today. Well, he went there. He sold everything. I said, you're nuts. I'm not giving you a dime. You're going to starve. So he went there. He went to Hollywood, California, lived in a hotel in a rented loft with a bunch of other guys. He used to call me every other day, say, listen to the gang shooting. And he used to put the phone out the window, and you hear pow, pow, pow. I mean, it was really interesting. He goes, I'm on the floor right now. Isn't this exciting? He wasn't scared, which was kind of neat. But anyway, and there were drug dealers in his building and everything like that. And he went to the sleazebag. So anyway, to make a very long story short, he called me one day. He said, hey, Dad, he said, you know, my little Enduro 250cc motorcycle, I was driving down the street. And he said, it stopped. I don't know why. It may be out of gas, but I don't have the money to fix it. So I took the plates off and I left it there. He said, I came back to my apartment. And when I got here, with my license plate in hand, my landlord was there, wouldn't let me in because I'm behind in my rent. He says, but the worst part, he says, I'm so hungry. He says, could you just send me $20? And I hesitated for a second. Now, you understand, I really love my son. You have to really understand, and we get along really well. I know you find this really hard to believe, but we really, really, he runs my company now. We get along beautifully. And I said, his name is Paul. I said, Paul, let me see if I can clarify this. I said, you know, you got a scholarship to TU, and, you know, of course he dropped out because he wanted to play music. And I said, so you're much smarter than I am. I never had anything like that, you know. I'm kind of dumb. I said, but maybe you can help me with some simple arithmetic. I said, I clear $1,000 a day. Now, that was a lie. I didn't clear anything near there. My company was faltering at the time. I was struggling. I wasn't making anything. But I said that. It sounded good. I said, I clear $1,000 a day. You want to borrow, I think borrow, $20. I said, where do you think the money's going to come from? And I hung up. Think about that. Now, when I tell that story, people go, what a horrible, horrible father. How could you? You know, you should be whipped, you know, for what you did. Folks, that's what they call tough love. Well, Paul called back and he's screaming, what do you mean? You make $1,000 a day and I can't have $20. And he's screaming on the phone. I said, Paul, the answer would be the same if it was 5 cents or 20 cents or 1 cent. It makes no difference. And I hung up again. I don't know how my son got back to Tulsa, but somehow, and I don't know if he borrowed the money from friends or whatever, but he got back to Tulsa. He got back. He eventually got married, has a kid, has a nice little house. A very, very pretty house. He works for my company. He's doing a good job. And he still has a band, and they're doing very well. Folks, that's tough love. I mean, people make decisions, and they have to learn by it. My son learned by his decision, and now he's doing well. If I would have given him that $20, he may still be in that rat-infested apartment in Hollywood with those drug dealers, with the drive-by shootings. He may even be dead today. You know, and we talk about that, and we laugh about it and whatever, you know. And he tells his friends, and he embellishes on the story. He makes it really funny, you know. And I'm not ashamed of what I did. I'm very, very proud. And I know the old story, that hurt me more than hurt him. In a way, it didn't hurt me at all. You know why? Because I knew it was the right thing. Folks, my name is Joe Cristiano. I'm the mean father of the world. This is Liberty Talk Radio. For all you listeners out there, no matter where you are around the world, our telephone number is 646-652-4620. 646-652-4620. Please call in. Any questions are acceptable this morning. We're going to talk a little bit about the bailouts. I did not bail my son out. If I did not bail my son out, why would I bail out AIG, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Lehman Brothers, Goldman Sachs, you name them. Why should I bail any of them out? General Motors, Ford, Chrysler included. I need someone to answer that very basic question. Now, if we really want to get down to basics, let's talk about the Constitution. Where is it in the Constitution that the government can forcibly take, now they have to forcibly take it because I don't want to give it to them, forcibly take money from its citizens to prop up a company? Someone's got to say that. I want you to email that to me. You can call me, but then I want you to back it up with email because I want it in writing. I want to make sure we have no misunderstanding. Where is it in our Constitution that the government has anything near the right to do that? No one is talking about the Constitution, the rights of the people, except for Ron Paul during these Senate investigation committees. All they're concerned about is what is the viability of the auto companies. Well, folks, the oil companies have no viability. They're dead. They're dead, 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 dead. You give them $25 billion, they'll burn it. You give them $50 billion, they will burn it. Now, they may stay in business for a little longer. They may come out with a couple of new cars, maybe increase their cash flow, but then they'll be back again. And I'm going to explain why in a minute. But where is it in the Constitution that gives the government the right to take my money and give it to a corporation that is unsuccessful? Now, let me tell you what happened when I had my company and someone stole the entire database from my company. And I'm telling you, it went down to practically zero. I was the largest industrial health testing company, and the guy that I entrusted the company to decided to leave, took the whole database, and since he was doing all the scheduling, he scheduled all right for his own company. And basically, people didn't even know that. So he went out and tested, and when he left, he went tested, and the phone stopped ringing. We calling people, they said, oh, we had our testing done. Wiped me out. Now, I want a bailout package. I employ people. It's just, you know, it's just as devastating to my employees as it is to anyone else. What did I do? Number one, I was taking absolutely no salary. For 2 years, I took no salary at all. I worked literally 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I got on the road and got back those customers personally. Me, myself, I. I got those customers originally many years ago. I went back. I got back every single customer and then some, except for two. I won't name them on the air. And they're two relatively. One's a very large company. One's a moderate-sized company. But it didn't hurt me at all. And now the company's on better footing today than it ever has been. By the way, since I'm retired, I still don't take a salary. I decided I won't do that anymore. I just plow the money into the business because it'll need new trucks and stuff like that. I said, better they have it than I do. I said, I'll just blow it on something stupid. But that's what the automakers have to do. Now, the question is, well, why don't they just do it? I mean, they're not stupid. There is an article by Michael E. Levine from the Wall Street Journal. He says, why bankruptcy is the best option for GM. And this is an article dated November 17th, 2008. I want to give him full credit for this. That's Michael Eve Levine. And he brings out some excellent points in his article. I guess it's the Wall Street Journal, November 17th. And the title of the article is Why Bankruptcy is the Best Option for GM. Oh, before I continue, please, my name is Joe Cristiano. I'm your host. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Please feel free to call 646-652-4620. Even if your call does not pertain to the bailout. I'll take any call this morning. Thursday morning is a tough time. I get very, very few calls, if any, on Thursday morning. I wish I got more. It would be great. But I know there's very few people who get up super early in the morning. You know, although this is around the world. Come on, guys. There must be people in Hong Kong, Singapore. Some people in Europe who like to stay up all night that should be calling me. And I especially like the callers that call because they disagree with me. And I will not get angry. I will not hang up on you. We will try to see if we can reason it out. I learn as much from you, if not more, than you learn from me. I can guarantee you that. But he goes on, Mr. Levine comes on to say, he says, after 42 years of eroding U.S. market share. Now, this is U.S. market share went from 53%, this is GM, 53% to 20%. And now Toyota is the biggest car manufacturer in the world, and GM is second. Right? 53% to 20%. And they have had countless announcements of change. Reminds me of Barack Obama. You know, this is a time of change. You know, and now they're left with Cadillac, Saab. I didn't know Saab was part of GM, by the way. That escaped me altogether. Cadillac, Saab, Buick, Pontiac, GMC, Saturn, Chevrolet, and Hummer. Now, Oldsmobile is not with them anymore. They closed that down, which kind of surprised me. I thought that was one of their best sellers. And yet, Toyota has 19% of market share here in the United States, right? And only has three major lines, not models, but three major lines. And Honda only has two. Now, when we say General Motors, understand we're not talking about General Motors as a company. We're talking about General Motors as a conglomerate of many companies. And therein lies a tremendous problem, because General Motors is the automaker, but really it's Chevy and Pontiac and Saab. They're all independent. So that poses a particular problem for them. Now, here's the big kicker. GM has 7,000 dealers. Toyota has fewer than 1,500. Now, remember, their market share is about the same. Right? And Honda has about 1,000 dealers. I mean, you can't have 7,000 dealers and you can't have 1,500 dealers and do the same volume of business and make the same amount of money. You see, the whole paradigm, the entire paradigm of General Motors is now obsolete, totally obsolete. Now, the real problem that they have is as many things they can't do that they can't change. For example, the pay wages are about comparable with Toyota as they are with GM. But the benefits that they provide for the Toyota people, the employees, is only a fraction of GM's, and they have contractually required to support thousands of workers in the UAW. They have a jobs bank, the UAW's job bank program, which, listen to this, folks, guarantees nearly full wages and benefits for workers who lose their jobs due to automation or plant closure. It supports more retirees than current workers. Now, let me make this clear. I am not pitting the employee against management, saying it's the employee's fault. I'm not doing that. I'm saying it's all management's fault, all, 100%. Now, my friends who belong to skilled unions, like the they're airline mechanics and whatever, and they argue that, and they're absolutely correct. They do not trust their employers. The reason why there are unions is because of bad management. When it comes to push, now I'm a business owner. I am a libertarian. All right, I am a free market person. I am a limited government, limited controls on everything. Right. And yet, when it comes down, who do you favor, labor or management? I say labor. Now you say, well, Joe, you're totally inconsistent. Let me explain this. The only reason why you have a union is because management sucks. If you had a good a company that gave a damn and was true, honest with their employees, there's no way you can have a union because a union's too expensive. I mean, these employees got to pay at least one work day a month they have to pay to a union boss. They don't want to do that. Why would you want to do that? And there's so many restrictions. I mean, it drives you nuts. No one in their right minds would join a union. But management's got to be bad enough to drive people there. For example, on a major airlines, they asked all the employees to take a 30% pay cut. And the people did that because to save the company. And then they awarded all these bonuses to these bums who are responsible for decisions that made them lose the money. Now, how do you think the employees felt? I tell you, if I would have been spitting mad, I would have been protesting or all by myself. I wouldn't have to wait for the union boss to tell me to do that. And there's the problem. So I want you to know that I'm not pitting the union against the management or anything like that, and I'm favoring, you know, management. Not at all. I'm just giving you facts here, folks. Just listen to the facts and get all the emotions out of it. Don't be like me, all right? And it says, and they have property, GM has property all over the United States, which they're obligated to support, and they support it through revenue bonds for municipalities that issued them to build these facilities in the first place. So they're paying these municipal bonds on these buildings that they're not using. Toyota doesn't do that. And health coverage and the contractual obligations for health coverage for employees is unbelievable. You know, they pay absolutely nothing. They can go in there and have a little pinprick. They'll go in to see a doctor. Doctor charges the company, you know, and it costs a fortune. You know, whenever there's a third party, everything goes up in price. It says all of these commitments to drain their cash every month. Moreover, GM supports admired suppliers and supports a huge infrastructure of firms and localities that depend on it. Many of them have contractual claims. They all have moral claims. They all want GM to be more or less of what it is. Now, that's interesting because and they can't close down these dealerships because they have contractual obligations to keep them open. So if we bail them out, what we are doing, folks, is we are maintaining the status quo. Now, some things that are unreasonable are the health benefits to the employees. They're absolutely unreasonable by any definition. Everyone should pay some part. Now, I retired from a major fully integrated oil company, and I have health insurance for them. And it cost me several hundred dollars a month. That's my contribution. Then I have co-pays. And now since I'm Medicare, I pay $100-something a month for Medicare, which is not much. But cumulatively, I pay even though I have excellent health care coverage and I'm in Medicare, I pay a significant portion every single month. These clowns are paying nothing. You can't do that. Because when you pay nothing, you abuse it. And when you abuse it, it gets expensive. Now it says, and herein lies the problem. The cost of terminating dealers is only a fraction of what it would cost to rebuild GM to become a company sized and marketed appropriately for its market share. And then it goes on to say, but much of the cash will be thrown at unproductive commitments. This is the point. Those commitments that they have right now are unproductive. Fully covered health care is unproductive. It increases the cost of health care. Because the doctors, you know, if you had a one-on-one relationship with your doctor, you just went in there and say, you know, my fingernail hurts. He can say, well, Bob, you know, just put some stuff, go to the drugstore and put such and such on. It's okay. He may not charge. He may charge you $5 or $10 because he knows, you know, you can't afford it, you know. But if he has to bill GM, you come in for a consultation for 2 minutes, you get billed $181 for it. I know. I've been there. I've seen that. The only way out for GM is a reorganization under Chapter 11. And you know what? Many companies have gone through Chapter 11 and they still survived. Now, GM will not survive the way it is now. And many its suppliers will have to retool and reshape. They will be a traumatic, absolutely a traumatic impact on the automotive, the economy in general. But folks, just like I told my son when I started this broadcast, I clear $1,000 a day. You want to borrow $20. Where do you think the money's going to come from? That was hard stuff. Decisions had to be made. Then the realization came, I can continue doing this. My son can say, I can continue doing this in California, this nonsense, and starve to death. Or I can start becoming a productive member of society and still do what I want. And he chose the latter. That was a smart move on his part. He's got a fabulous band, by the way. They're really, really good. But you see what I mean? No one's making a decision. But under reorganization, the referee in bankruptcy says, these contracts, they're gone. You know, sell them off. And then they have to start fresh. Then maybe they can be competitive. Without bankruptcy, folks, not only will GM not make it, they can't make it. And this is why the hearings are going on and on and on, because the questions that they're asking are not the right questions. They're asking general questions. They're getting general answers back. I want to, for example, the one question that I would ask that's not being asked is, during the times when you lost $5 billion in that quarter, did you take pay, Mr. CEO? And if the guy said yes, I would throw him out. I'd say, fine, you're not getting a dime. When my company lost money, when I lost my clients, I didn't take a dime for 2 years. These guys should not. Everyone of the board of directors, the CEO, CFO, everyone at the top level should receive no salary for the next 12 months. First of all, they're all multi-millionaires, and they don't need it. They're the ones that made the stupid decisions to make stupid cars on a short-term basis because they're only concerned about how many cars they can sell that month. Now let them suffer. And that's my comment, folks. This is Joe Cristiano. We're going to wind up this program right now, and I want to thank you for listening in. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated. Your life is in your own hands. But with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government is like training wheels. You now have a perfectly controlled ride that isn't any more fun. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, "Don't steal. The government hates competition." Support Ron Paul. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.